Okay, Rabosai, lovely to be with you all this morning, and I'm told that you didn't finish the parak yesterday. My goodness gracious. Moshe said he wanted to leave it for me. Okay, fine. All right, so we're holding today at today's, let's start this here. Today's daf in Masechet Sotah is daf Mem Beis. We're holding at the bottom of Mem Aleph Amud Beis. We were talking about the Inyan of Hanifa, and we got up to Omar Rabbi Elazar. Three lines up from the bottom. The Omar Rabbi Elazar. Kol ha-machanif l'chaveiro, sof nofel biyado. V'imenu nofel biyado, sof nofel biyad banav. V'imenu nofel biyad banav, nofel biyad ben banav. It's an incredible story. So somebody who in any way uses Hanif, and he doesn't say things exactly as they are, but he puts the, even if he just puts things in a way that implies that he's giving more credit to the person than that person deserves, I don't know what's going on, then he ends up falling into his hands, and if not into his hands, into the hands of his children, into the hands of his grandchild. And we learned this from an amazing place. We learn it from an actual Maisa that happened to Yirmiyahu HaNovi, of all things. Just call Gabi back. I don't know what's wrong with her. And that was the Maisa as follows. Vayomer Yirmiyahu l'Hananya. Amen. Ken yaseh Hashem, yakeim Hashem et dvorecha. So what happened over there? So we know that there was this incredible story. Hananya ben Azor. He goes ahead and he claims that he has this Nevi'ahs and that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to be bringing back all of the Kalim that were taken away, and they're going to be brought back to Eretz Yisrael together with the Gola in just 2 years. So fine? So Yirmiyahu says to him, Amen, Ken yaseh Hashem, Yakim Hashem et devorech, alavai, what you're saying should be true. Asheni beta lashiv kli beta Hashem, v'chol ha-golam yibavel, elam ha-kom hazeh. Now, what he really should have said is I won't say the words, but you know what he should have said. You, XXX, liar. Everything that you're saying is completely and totally made up, and so on, right? But instead, he says it to him, as if, like, yeah, halavai, halavai. That's not the point to say halavai. So what happens to Yirmiyahu? This is an absolutely amazing story. So what happens was, this is years later, Uchsev, Vayihu Bishar Binyamin. So now what happened was, is that Yirmiyahu, he got a nachala. So he had to go and he had to take care of the legalities. And he was on his way to take care of these legalities. And there's a guy there, Baal Pikidut. Pikidut means he's a bureaucrat. For some reason, the Torah gives us the entire yichus of this bureaucrat, which is really, really, who cares about a bureaucrat? Okay. And it calls him a bureaucrat, right? An Ish Pikidut. Okay, a Baal Pikidut. So he's a bureaucrat. What's his name? His name is Yiriah Ben Shalemia Ben Hananya. Uh-huh. So now that must be that the reason that the Torah is giving us this information is that we should understand that this is the grandson of that very Hananya ben Azor that was giving that Nevi'ahs that Yirmiyahu should have said, you rotten liar, and instead said to him, Halavai Yakim Hashem et Vorech, right? So he says to Yirmiyahu, we caught you. Ela Kastima Tanofel, we know you're planning on going out and joining up with the Kastim out there, right? We know all about you. And now Yirmiyahu says, you rotten liar, sheker. So the very words that he should have said to this guy's grandfather, in the end he's Neufel Biyad Ben Beno, and he has to say those words to the grandchild. You know, so when it comes to what is Nogea him, there he doesn't even chop at the moment the irony of what's going on, right? But he says, you liar, which is what he should have said back to the grandfathers. Amazing, amazing story. Hey, I'm telling you, very tough thing this Midas Adin. Okay, so in any nofel alakastim, and in the end, they grab him because it is bureaucrat, vayitfos yirmiyahu, vayivayeh olasarim. Yomer Rabbi Elazar, Another thing that we know about Hanifa is that kol ida sheyesh ba Hanifa mu'usa kenida. Basically, in the eyes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the entire community that tolerates this type of nauseating, again, there's no really good English equivalent of Hanifa. I mean, you have people translate it as flattery or more inappropriate words that have to do with TLing a person and so on. But it's much more profound in Lashon HaKodesh, the Lashon of Hanufa, with all of its implications of Hanef and the way that everything, the Oretz will be mitchanef because of Hanifa. That means it's deeper, obviously, than just simply. It means the things that are meant to be one way end up becoming perverted and ruined and expressed in completely different ways. But where do we see that any toleration in an entire community of Hanifa turns them into a disgusting community? It's mu'usakinida, shenemar ki adat chanef galmud. So here it calls the Eda of Hanifa a galmud. And bekarchei hayam korin l'nida galmuda. Why galmuda? How does that fit with nidot? Gmula dami ba'ala. This woman has become separated away from her husband. V'omer Rabbi Elazar, kol eda sheyesh ba Hanufa l'sof gola. In the end, any tolerance for this type of phoniness actually causes golus. Because k'tivacha ki adat chanev galmud, and we know that beautiful avtera of Tzion, k'tivatan v'amart b'lvavech mi yolad li et eile v'ani shechula v'galmuda gola v'sura. So Tzion was saying in her heart, I was gola as a galmuda. So you see that the lashon of galmud means the idea of golas. You should know that there's arba kitot in mekablot pnei shrina. There are four different groups of people that no matter what their madrega is, this is very interesting that many of them before should speak this out specifically, that what we're talking about is creating a set of people which seems to be irrelevant of any of the other elements in them. So in other words, this could be including Talmid Chachamim, including in terms of the Maisim Tevim, Tzadikim, and so on and so forth. What's important is, are they Shayach to any of these four sets? This would be Kat Leitzim. One is the class of cynics. One is Knat Chanefim. One is Kat Shakranim, I should say. And one is Kat Misapre Lashon Hara. Any member of one of those four sets is not zeche to be mekabel pnei shechina. And the tzaddik points out that would mean that his tefillah is never able to be mekabel because he has to be oimed b'fnei shechina, and he's not shaykh to be mekabel pnei shechina. So because of that, it's effectively locking such an individual out of tefillah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes his hands away from those who are cynics. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will not receive any chanef. Not in front of me, I'm not going to let one of these people. And kat misapre lashon hara, tichtiv kilo el chafetz resha ata. Lo yagur chara. That because you cannot tolerate resha, because of that tzadik ata Hashem lo yagur b'megur chara, something that is mamish evil. These are the people that are misapri lashon hara. This is much more than the other inyanim that we had. The other three inyanim here we're identifying the misapri lashon hara as evil, and therefore it's not that the lashon hara is not going to be in the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's that evil is intolerable, and such a person walking in is literally the face of evil. And you see the difference between Lashon Hara and the other Chataim that the Rambam puts together when he talks about Tzaras and so on, and the way that people speak. Hadron Allah Elo Ne'emarim. Now comes the big moment. It's the moment Wow. Okay. I see just putting Doc on the next level up is already enough to scare the heck out of you. Excellent.
Rebbe?
Yes?
I just have to mention, I'm sitting in a Karach Yam, as we learned about Karachei Hayam. I'm on the island of Jerba.
Yes, but you didn't do Jerba any favor by getting Barnea's neighborhood to recognize Jerba, and now it's the middle of the news. Well, we needed terrorist attacks at Jerba because people would know that you're there. Man, oh man.
There was a rainstorm here that ended a 10-year drought, and water
I'm not saying that your presence wouldn't be a bracha to the entire, no question. Absolutely, we understand that a visit by Barnea to Barnea's neighborhood is the secret of success, but it also can bring an ayin hara. He's incorrigible. Yeah. Crazy. Okay, Rabosai, so we're going to begin now the eighth perek as we come close to the end of Seita. Scary stuff here. And we're going a little bit out of order because in the Mishnah we had the Egla Rufa before Mashuach Mechama. Over here we put Egla Rufa as a whole different sugya, so we finish up the other Nyan of the Mishnah first. And what exactly is the Mashuach Mechama? So before, let's take a look at the entire perek. Well, I shouldn't say perek, it's a goyish concept. But at the words of the Mashiach Muhammad. So what is the pasuk? Ki teitzei la milchama loivecha v'ra'ita sus v'rechev am rav mimcha lo tira mehem ki Hashem elokecha imach amalcha meretz Mitzrayim v'haya ki koravchem el ha-milchama v'nigash ha-kohen v'diber el ha-am. So ha-kohen refers to some particular individual that is not identified over here, which is going to turn out from the drushas to be the individual that we call the Mashuach Milchama, who is a special Kohen, and he is Mashuach B'Shem and HaMishcha, who has a Madrega for speaking to the Am these words. V'yamar aleihem, Shema Yisrael, atem krevim hayom la'milchama lo'ivechem, al yerach levavchem, al tir'u, v'al tachbezu, v'al ta'artzu mipneihem. So notice that we have four different lashonas in which the kohen is mazir. Al yerach levavchem, al tir'u, al tachbezu, al ta'artzu. So these are different things. Your heart shouldn't become in any way affected, to become faint of heart, as they say. Have no fear, have no terror, don't feel broken. I'll use the Shemot. Ki Adonai Eloichem ha'oleich imachem lihilachem lachem imoivechem loshia etchem. Then it seems to move on to other people speaking. V'diberu ha'shoterim el ha'am lemor, mi ha'ish asher bana bayit chadash v'lo chanacho, yelech v'yashov leveito, ben yamut b'milchama v'ish acher yachvechenu, u'mi ha'ish asher nata kerem v'lo chilolo, ילך וישוב לביתו, בן ימות במלחמה ואיש אחר יחל עלינו. ומי האיש אשר הרס אישה ולא לקחה, ילך וישוב לביתו, בן ימות במלחמה ואיש אחר ייקחנה. ויאספו השוטרים לדבר על העם, and then the שוטרים say, מי האיש היורה ורח הלבב, if there's someone who just can't take the terror, we don't need him around here, let him go home. We don't need frightened people around here. That's when they paktu saretz va'od ha'am, and they actually get ready for the battle. So these diyukim, the Mishnah and the Gemara is going to go through all of the dinim. Mishuach milchama. So this special coin, Mishaash medaber al ha'am, he speaks only in Lashon HaKodesh. Sheneemar v'haya kikorevchem el ha-milchama v'nigash ha-kohen. Who exactly is that kohen? As we will prove, it's referring to a special kohen, Mashuach Milchama. And then it says v'diber. And v'diber means b'lashon HaKodesh. How do we know v'diber means b'lashon HaKodesh? That we're going to see in the Gemara. V'yamar aleihem, Shema Yisrael. What is the Shema Yisrael Atem? Why does it stress over here that you're Yotzim L'Milchama Al Oyveichem? Obviously, if you're going to be fighting, you're going to be fighting Oyveichem, aren't you? No, it means that you have to understand there's a difference between a fight against sworn enemies and in a civil war, for instance. This is not like the war. Lo alachichem. You are not going out against Lo Yehuda al Shimon, Lo Shimon al Binyamin, She'im tiplu biyadam, yirachamu alechem. You know, we've had situations in which there were terrible wars. This was a Pekach ben Ramayal when he killed, I mean, it was a terrible thing. So it was Achaz against Pekach Ramayal. 120,000 casualties from Yehuda. I mean, mind-boggling. 200,000 are captured, and they're dragged to Shomron, and they're going to make all the women and children, they're going to make them slaves. So Odeid HaNavi was there, and Odeid HaNavi says to them, "You idiots, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is angry at Yehuda, and because of that, you lucked out that you were able to defeat Yehuda in this horrific fashion. But that was not because of your madrega, that was because you were used by HaKadosh Baruch Hu to be Manish Yehuda. So now you're going to have the chutzpah, and you're going to take them, their population, as captives. You send them back, and you take care of them." So what happened over there? They actually did take care of them. Because there it says, Kemo she'ne'emar, Vayakumu anashim ashenigvu b'shemot, Vayachziku b'shivya. They appointed special people to deal with the captured women and children. They utilized all of the spoil that they had captured. They gave it to people who needed clothing. They put on shoes. They gave them food. They covered them with oil if they needed their skin treated. Then they gave them chamorim if they had a hard time walking. They walk with them all the way back and bring them to Yericho, Ira Timarim, to deliver them back to Yehuda, Eitzel Achayim, and they turn around and they go back home. You think that that's the way these goyim are going to treat you? Is that what you think? Aloi vechem atem olchim, im tiplu biyadam, im rachamim alechem. There's no way. They will absolutely give you no quarter. Al yerach levavchem. Why do we have these four lashonot? Al yerach levavchem, al tiru, al tachbezu. What does it mean? So there were four different things of psychological warfare that were very prevalent at the time of the Torah. And this is referring to al yerach levavchem mipnei tzolat susim v'tzichtzu acharavot. So one thing that they would do is they would gun the tank motors, which in those days sounded remarkably like horses neighing, but it was like very, very loud and scary. And then they've got their swords lifted up into the air, reminds you of death, death, death. Yes, terrifying, absolutely terrifying. Even orcs get nervous from that, right? And then
No.
The shining of swords. Clashing is hagafat resim. Al tiru. The next thing is, al tiru, don't be afraid. What's that from? Mipnei hagafat resim vishifat hakal gasin. That's talking about the noise that's made. They used to take the shields, you know, bang them together. So it would be immensely powerful noise. Don't get worried about that. It's just noise. Shifata Kalgasim, you've got all of these soldiers that looks like there's mamish millions of people, and they're moving around, and the dust is rising in the air. It's nothing. It's all just computer-generated nonsense. Al Tachpezu, don't get all terrified over here from what? So they've got their trumpets. It's just noise. Al Tartsumi, they call Tzvachot. And what about the sounds of the shouting? This is scary. You know, they got these big loudspeakers over there, like on the A-team, pretending that they're, what are you talking about? This is childish. nothing to be worried about when you're living in the presence of the Shekhinah where things are real. What have they got behind them? They got some kind of hero, huh? Plishtimbo benitzchonor shel Goliath. Oh, yes, indeed. Here's the big hero. Maya sofo. The sof nafal b'cherev. In the end, bye-bye hero, and everybody ends up being wrecked together with him. Naflu imo. B'nei Amon. They come along, they've got another hero. So what's their hero? Their hero is Shovach. What happens to Shovach in the end? The sof nafal b'cherev. And they all fall with him. This is the Ammonim, they pay Hadadezer, and he's going to come from Aram, and he's going to kill the Jews, and so on. So they bring this another one of these incredible, mighty men, you know, straight out of the comic books. And David HaMelech kills him. He kills Shovach. Fine. So big deal. But atem, yatem kein, ki Hashem Elokeichem Olechim Achem Li Lachem Lachem. This refers to the Machane Orein, which we're going to be getting to exactly, big machlokas, exactly what that means. We'll talk about that actually tomorrow. Okay, so now the Gemara wants to know, where do we get the idea, just because it says v'diber, that means it has to be Lashon HaKodesh. My karma, Ochi karma. The Mishnah says, since it says v'diber la'am, and we find that Lashon HaMeshe yidaber, v'Elohim ya'nenu v'kol, ma'ala halan b'Lashon HaKodesh, afkan b'Lashon HaKodesh. Okay. Our Gemara is happy with that. Stosis Poitzapi, in the Yerushalmi, they're not happy, not happy with that at all. The Yerushalmi asks all kinds of kashas on this and ends up having a completely different drasha. But fine, our Gemara keeps the drasha of Diber. Tana Rabbana, v'nigash hakohen v'diber el ha'am. So it says hakohen. You would think that means any kohen. Yoko ko kohen shir, it says. So choose a kohen at random. No, Talmud Lomar v'dibru ha-shotrim. That means that we have a special class of people that are miyuchad for the jobs over here. The shotrim are obviously not anybody who wants to can be a police officer. You know, it requires a special kohen who's able to hold up for you every day a flask of poison of warning. If you don't do as I say, you're finished. So if the shotrim need to be appointed, and then that means that the Kohen needs to appoint. It's just like the Shotrim are b'mumuneh, so too a Kohen has to be mumuneh. Okay, but I mean, we have a mumuneh, we have the Kohen Gadol, right? So if it's talking about the Kohen, so obviously that must be it must be the Kohen Gadol, right? No, because it has to be Dumya de Shoter. A Shoter is a mumuneh who is a second order mumuneh. He's got somebody over him, and he's got the Bezdin over him. So, Av Kohen, Shiesh Mimuneh El Gabav. So, there's got to be a Kohen who is under the Kohen Gadol, that the Kohen Gadol can tell him what to do. So, there must be some other Kohen. Well, wait a minute. I mean, the Kohen Gadol then also has somebody over him. I mean, the Melech is more Choshev than the Kohen Gadol. So, why couldn't it be the Kohen Gadol? No, because even though Ikamelech HaGabav, we're talking about in his own tchum. So Ba'avadato Ka'ama, we're talking about, look, a shoter can only do what he's empowered to do by the court. He can't do anything. The same thing is true. The Kohen Gadol, what, can't do anything except what the Melech tells him? That's not true. In his area of Aveda, he is number one. That's why it can't be the Kohen Gadol. Okay, so it could be the Skan Kohen Gadol, right? Remember that we have a Skan, and we've talked about that Skan in the Mishnayos. We bring the Sefer Torah, we give it to the Skan, the Skan heads it to, so obviously, he is under the Kohen Gadol, and he has the special Hashivas of a Skan. And this is the Gemara remarkable thing. A Skan is not an appointee. That's really amazing. How do we know that? Obviously, from the Skan. Omer Rabbi Chanina Skan HaKohenim, it's not an appointment. Sagan lav mimuneh, detanya. Amr b'chanina sagan ha'kayani. Lema sagan mimuneh. What is his appointment? His appointment is to be available to be the Kohen Gadol in the event that something happens to the Kohen Gadol. But he has no other appointment. So that means he has zero authority. As long as there's a Kohen Gadol, he's nobody. I mean, the fact that people want to be mechabed him, that's true, because he's next in line for the Kohen Gadol. But that's not a job that the Torah recognizes. Being in line for a Kohen Gadol is a chashivas, but it's not a job. So his entire job is to be there in case. Sheimi rabo psul, but Kohen, so he will be nichnasu mishamesh tachtav. But that's not similar in any way to the type of appointment that we find by the Shotrim. Therefore, can't mean him. So it must be that there's a specific Kohen who is the one that is appointed for this job. V'yomar aleihem Shema Yisrael. Why Shema Yisrael? Some learn why Shema Yisrael, why all of a sudden in Lashon Yochid, when everything else is Lashon Rabbi. Rashi just learns, why do we choose those very meaningful words, Shema Yisrael, that have so much association in our mind? Om Rabbi Yochanan Rishum Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, Omar Lam HaKadosh Baruch Hu LiYisrael, Afilo Lo Kiyamtem, Ela Kriyat Shema Shacharit VaArvit, I Atem Nimsarim BiYadam. If you just did that one mitzvah of saying Kriyat Shema every single day, Boker VaErev, so that means that you're mekabel on yourselves the fact that the Yichud Hashem is what empowers all things. And that even though it looks like there's other powers in the world, that's Aveda Zora. There are no other powers, and you're the ones who know that. So if that's the case, just that alone puts you into Yadav Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu and saves you from the type of things that other people believe in. Namely, that it's the power of the army that is going to be victorious. Ayerach levavchem, al tiru, and so on. Tonu Rabbanan. Pa'amayim midaber imam. Actually, the Kohen Gadol speaks twice. Once he speaks to them at the Sfar, so where they're at the border of invading that country, he speaks to them, and once where they're actually in the Milchama about to attack. Bisfar, Ma'o Omer. So this is amazing. It's very kedai to see the Malbim inside, who goes through a beautiful, beautiful analysis of the difference between the utilization of Kikoravchem El and the idea of La Milchama, and many places that he brings to show the consistency of how the language is totally different when you just use a different preposition together with the word that you're speaking about. So it makes the nafkamina of whether you're about to act, whether you're just about to arrive in a particular place. All of that, he's medayik so marvelously. If you take a look at the Malbim inside, he shows the mokra of the Gemara of why we know that it must be that it was actually two times that he's medaber imam. I don't want to take up your time over here, but it's really, I must admit that I'm tempted, but I think it's probably kedai for you to look. Amazing. So one time he speaks to them. I hear it's not exactly clear in the Rambam what this means. So he says to them at the Sfar, Shimu divrei marchei hamilchama, and it's not clear how to read the next word. V'chizru, or v'chazru. So the question is, the Marchei HaMilchama is a reference to those who are chozer from the Marchei HaMilchama, right? Mi bana bayit chadash, nata kerem, mi yishireis isha, and so on. Even though Rashi includes over here, by the way, everybody asks on Rashi, because Rashi includes mi yish hayorei v'racha levav. And the truth is that the yorei v'racha levav, it says beferish, that was said not by the Kohen, that was said only by the Shotrim. So the question is, why does he include it? So it could be that the Rashi is just saying all of the things that are included in the Marchei HaMilchama. So the Rambam seems to learn, at least the way the Kesef Mishnah learns, it's not, I must say, not entirely persuasive, the way that the Kesef Mishnah understands the Rambam. But the way the Kesef Mishnah understands the Rambam is that first, at the Sfar, the Kohen speaks to them the entire parsha. That the Rambam says. He says over the entire parsha. So what the repeat, according to the Rambam, is when they come into the actual word, where he says, Al yirach levavchem, and Al tiru, and so on and so forth, so the Kesubish understands like this. The overall parsha is said from the beginning all the way through the end, right at the first time that the Kohen addresses them at the Sfar. But that is a, so to speak, the pekuda of what is coming. It doesn't mean to immediately put this into action. So it's like you have in a war, before going out to fight, there's first the pekudot. Here's what we're going to be doing. Here's what our aims are. And therefore, he sets in the entire thing. It's not meant... Okay, the tadrich. Fine. So it's a tadrich. Then when you get to the actual milchama, then right before going out, it's then that he speaks out the halacha lemaisa and the encouragement and so on. So that is the reason for the repetition. From Rashi, it's mashma, that the actual chazora was at that moment. Not that he told them v'chizru, but that they chazru haru'uyim lachzor, says Rashi. They actually went home at that point. Whereas in the Rambam, the mashmaut is that at the tadrich, nothing happens. And then later on, when it's, okay, gentlemen, those of you who have determined that you're supposed to be going home, now's the time to go home. Okay, and then we go through in the Mishnah, Keneged Arba'at, Varim, Shavdei Kochavim Osim, Magifim, Miriim, Tzvachim, Meromesim, which is an amazing insight that my Rebbe, Reb Chaim, would say over always. That you see from here that every new tactic is a new battle. It's amazing. The Kohen has to point out to them, don't worry about this, and don't worry about many. You say, don't worry, you know, it's all nonsense. There's no such thing as don't worry, it's all nonsense. You have to address the specific terror and the specific nonsense and face up to it. Listen, you're going to be hearing a lot of trumpets. Now you're going to be hearing a lot of noise. You're going to be hearing a lot of clashing things. You're going to be hearing a lot of tank motors. Really think about each one of those things. Do tank motors hurt? No. Do shiny swords hurt? No. Makes no difference how much shine there is. Do trumpets hurt? No. Think about that. Okay, so each thing requires a psychological warning and a steeling of yourself into how to deal with what is coming psychologically. That's amazing. People try to get themselves, you know, their stomach screwed up for what they have to do and steal. But that's not the way. The way is to actually go through each different aspect at which you may feel terror and deal with it directly. So that's what the Mishnah is telling you. Now this Goyos, we have a very, very low level appreciation of this guy. He was a lot more than this big schlub who is grumbling around and then just gets it, takes it right between the eyes and so on. This is someone who is deeply, intellectually committed to the destruction of everything that Israel believes in. And remember where he came from. He came from Orpah, and he was the one that is the expression of the moment of Orpah's turning away from Ruth and from Naomi. And at that moment, so Chazal say, that at that moment, she became a whore to the Plishtim army and dedicated her life to the destruction of everything that Ruth would achieve. It's an amazing story. And so all four of her children are described in Shmuel as having attacked David in a different way. The most powerful one is Goliath. So it says over there in the Medrash that night she slept with 100 different Plishtim gentlemen, and one dog. That was just to put on a show. So that then later on, when Goliath says, HaKelev Anochi, you think I came from a dog, you idiot, that you're sending this kid to fight me? Okay, so that's how the Oroch actually learns. Tosis brings here as well that this reference in our Gemara. So we'll see. But what the Gemara wants to do is to bring out the depths of his evil commitments at the same time that it brings out the depths of his mother and what it is that she became from that moment. So this Golias, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, why is he called Golias? From the Lashon of Gilui Panim. Shamai b'Gilui Panim lifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He had such incredible chutzpah. This was an outright brazen attack on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Look what he says. He doesn't say, choose someone. Brulachem laredet elai. He says, brulachem ish v'yered alai. That means that what he's saying is, en ish ela HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Shenamar Hashem ish milchama. So I did, like this you normally say, brulachem ichem, choose one of your people. You don't say ish, obviously. What else are you going to choose? A donkey? Ella, he's gufa, saying to them, get anything that you want, man. Get your own man, you know, the Hashem ish milchama. Go ahead, I'm ready to do battle. Omar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, okay, he wants an ish, I'm going to send him a kid. Hareini mapilo ayidei ben ish. Shenemar v'David ben ish Efrati azeh. So we turned, David HaMelech was looking at this little kid, cute little kid, red-haired. There he comes. Okay, I can't believe it. This is what I'm telling you to send God to fight me, and you send me this little kid? So this was like a direct slap in the face. Amar Rabbi Yochanan mishum Rabbi Meir. You know, if you analyze his speech, there were three places. The way that he talks is an indication of what's coming. And this is like the Brit Krutalis Vatayim. The first one is, he said, Berulachem ish v'yered elai. Yered elai, often elai is read as alai. Right? So, yered elai could mean, let him beat me up. let him come out on me. In other words, he's going to destroy me. The second one, im yuchali elachemiti vihikani. Exactly, vihikani. And the third one is that he says to David, what do you think I am? The dog? Hakelav anochi? Ki'ata boilai again, he says. Boilai b'maklo, you're using sticks against me? Come out here and fight. But wait a minute. David said the same thing. He used the lashon of boilai. He said to him, ata boilai b'cherev u'b'chanitu v'chidon. So he said that. Well, of course he said that. That's the whole point. He was saying, you think that you're going to come with swords and with spears and... ridiculous. Anochi ba'elecha b'shem Hashem tzvakot Elohei marchot Yisrael asher chirafta, the chutzpah that you had. You're going to pay. So, okay, so that's the whole point, is that David is contrasting. You're going to come and you're going to get me, right? So that's exactly why that is not meant against himself, but adarab, it's a way to ridicule him. Vayigash haplishti hashkem v'arev. Why does it say hashkem v'arev? Omer Rabbi Yochanan, because he wanted to be mevato their kavon of Kriyat Shema. Every time they're about to say Kriyat Shema, you think he didn't have maizmanim? He looks on maizmanim, goes out there, it's time for Kriyat Shema, and that's when he does his fee-fi-fo-fum shtick, and he tells them this whole drusha, go ahead, let's see if you got anybody. So they... it's very hard to concentrate. And that's Levatel Mikriyat Shema Shachris V'Arvis. And why do you think he does this for 40 days? Amar Rabbi Yochanan Keneged Arboim Yom Shenit Nabem Teira. And these were Keneged in the Medrash, Keneged the 40 steps that Orpah had walked originally. It said that Orpah and Ruth walked together with Naomi. And this was, that's why he had that schus, that he got away with this for 40 days. That was the good part of Orpah. What is Isha Binayim, the guy in the middle? I mean, obviously the Pashas was between the two Machanais, but why call him an Isha Binayim? So Rav says he was Mivune. This guy was Mivune Mikol Mum. He was absolutely stunning. A real superhero, not the way he's made out today to be this half-blind, bumbling giant. V'Shmuel Amar, Benoni Shebe'achav. He was only the medium guy among the family of the brothers. There's four brothers we're going to be talking about. Don't think that he was the biggest one. Devei Rebbe Shilamar, Mivuneh means he was like a building. This is like watching a skyscraper coming at you. Rabbi Yochanan Omar, it means he was Beinayim because he was born out of Mea Papi and Chada Nani. So this is where the Oruch says the Nani is the dog. The Mea Papi, he's got 100 daddies and one doggy. So meanwhile, that's what is goofy, what he's saying. Nobody knows who it was that managed to get Orpah pregnant with him. But maybe it was the dog. I don't know. So that's the idea, again, to think about what had happened to Orpah. This is also one of the most powerful inyanim that I learned from my Rebbe. Really, the story of Orpah. I mean, it's an amazing story, right? Here is a woman that was mamish on the darga of Rus. She was greater than Rus because originally the posik is maktim Orpah to Rus. She's the one that goes, and she's the one that walks along and so on and so forth. And only at the very last second, after they're crying and they want to go with her. They both say, "We want to go with you all the way." And Omi says to them, "No, it's the wrong thing. You need to be Isha, big Isha. You need to be able to go to your own homes. You need to get married again. You need to have a life." She argues with them. And Rut is Dafkaba, and Orpah just didn't make that last moment. And she turned around. She gave her a kiss, right? So that's what's called the Nishuka. She gives Naomi a kiss and turns around. But giving her that kiss, she turns around, and that's when she becomes Orpah, at that moment. So in other words, you see that the drama of a choice is a totality, an existential change from one extreme to another. It's not that, okay, I can't make it, you know, Rus is great, I can't do it. No. It's an absolute, total, existential new being. And at that moment, she has committed herself, her future, her children, everything that she dreams about, to destroying Rut and to destroying Naomi. This is mamish, an astounding thing, right? And you see this so often. It's amazing. Psychiatrists see these things so often, in which there is this complete and total commitment to something, and then there's a choice to go against it, and it's like total, complete. It's like the idea of cults, escaping cults, or escaping cigarettes, or escaping drink. You know, where the person becomes a missionary for his new approach to life. You know, I've discovered the truth, and everybody who doesn't believe in it is going to die. And that's exactly what happens over here with Orpah. It's an amazing story. Okay, so this is the Mea Papi and the Chada Nani. So now let's analyze the idea of Orpah. So his name was Goliath, and he came from Gat. Now, calling him he came from Gat is very strange, because it could have just said, usually when it talks about someone from Gat, it calls him Hagiti. So she just said, Goliath Hagiti. So now the rest of the Gemara is basically dedicated to finding filthy words for intercourse. And you can't find as many good filthy words in English as the Gemara has. So we don't really have an ability to translate the words properly. But each one of these issues talks about another synonym. Banging her, screwing her, threshing her, whatever, all kinds of different words that are indicative of what kind of woman she was. So she's called Gat. Why is she called Gat? Because Gat is a thresher. It's a presser, where you press the grapes. So everybody was dasher. Everybody would bang her. And that's the Migat. Then we find that he came from Ma'archot HaPlishtim, but it doesn't say Ma'archot HaPlishtim. It says Me'arot HaPlishtim, which actually means, is also another word for sex, because it's a Lashon of Ha'ara. Again, I don't know, screw her. Just, you know, I mean, it has a technical meaning in Lashon HaKadosh as well. But here, it just means Hakol He'eru Bi'imo. So everybody that she met, she had a little thing with. And in one pasuk, we find her called Harafa. So there it says, when it's talking about all of those four kids that she had, so it talks about Yishbi Venov Yilide Harafa. And it talks about Goliath there as well and all the other brothers. So in one place it calls her Orpa in Rut. Here it calls her Harafa. So why is that? So Rav Shmuel Chad Amar, her real name was Harafa. But the reason that they called her Orpa is because Akol Orfimoto Miachareah. She would always get screwed from the rear. And therefore, Orpa means you're looking at her neck. So everybody is Orphim. The other Lashon is also just as filthy. Chadomer Orpa Shema, but the reason they called her Harafa, because Harafa is what we call grain that has been crushed. So I called Dashimota Keharifot. Vechenu Omer, Vatikach Haisha, Vatifrotz et Hamasach HaPnei HaBe'er, Vatishtach HaLav HaRifot. So we see that in the story where they were hiding out, she, in order to cover them, because they were spying for David, so she covered the curtain with harifot, which are crushed grains. Viva et ema miacha. Im tichtosh et ha'avil b'machtesh. B'toch harifot ba'ali, if you'll take an idiot, a fool, an avil, I mean, again, it means a bedavka person who acts like a fool, and you crush him with a pestle, and you think that that's going to make him smart, lotasur me'alavi valto. You're not going to make him in the least bit changed in any way. But there we call him harifot. Et arba'at ele yuldu lo harafa begat, v'yiplu b'yad David, b'yad avadav. So it lists there the four children of Harafa. Who are these four? Saf, Madon, Goliath, and Yishbi Benov. Each one of them attacks David in a different way. And v'yiplu, all four of them fall b'yad David u'b'yad avadav. Why is that? What is the posik making? Dichtiv v'tishak orpa l'chamota v'rut davkaba. Omer Rabbi Yitzchak Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Let the difference between the neshuka. People think that, yeah, with a kiss, you can actually seal something. And that shows the extent of your commitment. Baba Mises. Yavo b'neash neshuka v'yiplu b'yad b'neha devuka. What it took for Rus to be Rut davkaba, that incredible change, that power that made Rut what she was, is the same as the neshika that turned Orpah into what she was. Let the children of the Neshuka fall into the hands of the Devuka. Dorash Rava, Mischar Arbad Maot, Shorida Orpah Achamota. It says two times that they cried. So that means that there were at least two tears from two eyes, and at two occasions. That's four tears. Zakpev Yatsu Neno Arba Agiborim. These four Marvel comic heroes came from her because of those four tears. Shenemar vatisena kolan vatifkena od. This was the second time that they cried. Then talk about the size of Goliath's spear. On the one hand, it calls him chetz chanito. That's what it's written in the pasuk of how incredibly powerful the chetz chanito was. So, but we pronounce it, the Cree is Eitz Chanito, was like a menor origim, which is the gigantic thing that they have on the womb. That is enormous, and it weighed 600 shekel. That was the weight of the spear. So why does it call it, in the Ksiv, it calls it the Chetz? Amar Rabbi Elazar, because the Pasuk wants you to know that everything that we said about this guy isn't even half of the story. This guy is more than double everything that we've told you. You think that the superhero that we described is Goliath? That's not half a Goliath. And we learn from there, Adayin lo higanu l'chatzi shivcho shel oto rasha, which teaches us that mikan she'asur l'saper b'shivchan shel rasha'im, that the pasuk wants you to know, we're not going to tell you the whole story, because you're not allowed to say these incredible things about rasha'im. Wait a minute. So then why does it say anything? So, liftach beklal. No, you need to know who David was up against. But we're not going to tell you the whole story. So we'll indicate to you at that time, this isn't even half of it, which is an expression we use in English as well. This isn't even half the story. B'nei Amon, the next thing in the Mishnah, they came with their own superhero. Who was that superhero? Shovach. Now, also, we have over there two different ways of spelling his name. So in Shmuel, it spells the name Shovach. Shovach means something sort of gentle. A Shovach is like a dovecot, you know. And in Divrei Hayomim, it calls him Shofach. Well, which one was it? Again, Rav and Shmuel argue. Chad Omar Shofach Shemo. And he was called a Shovach because he was built like the building of a Shovach. Have you ever seen a Shovach? It's enormous at the bottom, comes up as it goes up. This guy was a walking tank. That's the point. The Chad Omer Shovach Shemo, the Nominik Mo Shofach, because of the impact that he would have psychologically, anybody who looked at this guy had to run to the bathroom. Nishpach Lefanav Kikiton. It was absolutely terrifying. And then we find a Lashon, which is talking about Nebuchadnezzar, also between Rav and Shmuel. It says, Ashpato kekever patuach, kulam giborim. Now, Ashpato literally means where you keep the quiver. Quiver, yeah. So the quiver of Nebuchadnezzar, which we understand that to be a reference to, if it's talking about a king, is his army. His army is his quiver and all of the weaponry and soldiers that he has, kulam giborim. So Rav and Shmuel, some say the Lashon, some say it was Rabasi. So Chanamar Bishaash is Zorkin Chetz Osim Ashpatot Ashpatot Shechalalim. One of these people would shoot. He could utilize one shot to make piles of dead bodies. You might think, Shema Tomar, She'omanim Bikrav. That doesn't mean that they were strong. That means that they had excellent laser sighting. No. Talmud Lomar, Kulam Giborim. And the other Mandi Omar says that it means B'sha'ash al-sim tzorcheyem osim ashpatot ashpatot shel zevel. When these guys would defecate, they would be so enormous and were so powerful, had eaten so much, they would make piles of excrement. Shema Tomar mipnei shecholi me'ayim. These guys got serious tummy troubles. I mean, man, these... No. It's because Kulam Giborim, Amr of Moritz, you see from here then, that I mind an offensive, somebody who is producing too much excrement is clearly has some kind of stomach disease. Choli me'ayim he. Okay, yeah, all right, fine. So, l'may nafkamina. What do you mean l'may nafkamina? It means that if you see that kind of symptom, you better get yourself a gastroenterologist. I mean, this is no joke. This is not something that you can safely ignore. That's what it means. Da'aga belev ish, another machlokas, once we bring Rav Amin Rabasi, the beautiful pasuk. Da'aga belev ish yashchena. The pashtus, da'aga, if somebody is worried, terribly worried about something, dreading what's coming, yashchena. So yashchena can mean what he should do, or it's yashchena, it crushes him, crushes his heart. But it could be read as every shin, as a sin. And Rabbi Ami and Rabasi argue. One says, Yashchena. Yashchena means you should just crush it. So that means, Yashchena midato. Just put it out of your mind. Don't pay attention to it. V'chadomar, Yasichena, on the contrary. Talk it out to your psychiatrist. Because what it means is, if you speak about something, the very act of speaking about it makes it not as terrifying to you. You know, when you end up talking about what's bothering you to your doctor, and all of a sudden you're saying, why the heck am I here at a doctor? This isn't even serious. By the time you leave the doctor, you don't even recognize that you're sick. This happens sometimes. That's Dagabalavish, yes, Chena. So talk it out. So if you allow yourself to, this is basically the source of two main professions, cardiology and psychiatry. cardiology, they can't really do very much to you. But, you know, they let you talk about the way you feel, and they tell you everything's going to be okay. And that's exactly what the psychiatrist is. Talk it out, you know. So this is Freud right here. Lie down on the couch and tell me all about it, my boy. Okay, that's the Yasichena. Some learns that actually the beautiful Nekudah over here is, this is the Hasidic approach, that once you've spoken something out to another person who cares, so then HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to have to relieve the other person, the tsar, of, oh my gosh, they're going to be so worried about you that he has to relieve it so that the Rebbe shouldn't suffer. The Rebbe isn't here, so we can't, but if the Rebbe is worried about you, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't want the Rebbe to suffer, so he'll take away that tsar. Okay. So this, the next piece, Bezrat Hashem, we'll see tomorrow how it is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is with us when we go out into battle. Meanwhile, wishing you a wonderful, wonderful day of Besuras Teves, Yeshuas, Nechomes, and the battles that are Emet Befanenu today should be Benitzachin of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Kol Tuv.